Last couple of weeks, we've talked about faith in the blood. How many know that there's something about the blood of Jesus? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. That means without Him dying on the cross and shedding His blood for you, you are sunk. Right? You're without hope, no way to get to God, no chance, right? And you might say, yeah, but that person, you know, you've heard this before, that person lived a good life, man. They should be in heaven because they lived a good life. Well, the Bible says there's none good. And when we say that, we're not saying that they weren't good people and they did good things, but none of them could measure up to the goodness of God. His requirements are holiness, complete holiness, that's it. And the reality is that none of us could reach those standards. That's why we needed Jesus. Come on. But that's why Jesus came, and He did come, right? And He shed His blood. But it's not just His blood that made the payment for our sin, as we talked about. It's faith in His blood that activates all the benefits that come from His sacrifice. Come on. I can go boldly before the throne of God because I have faith in the blood, that it was accepted and that God took it into the Holy of Holies. Amen? So faith in the blood. I'm not going to preach that one again. And last week we talked about faith in the name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. But it's not the name of Jesus only. It's the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And there's principles for why you have to take that all in, because it's not just Jesus, because there were lots of Jesuses. There's lots of Jesuses today, right? In Mexico, it's Jesus, and there's lots of Jesuses in Mexico, right, Scott? Yeah, but watch this. Watch this. But it's Jesus the Christ, and Christ isn't His last name, right? It's His title. So you have to have faith that Jesus was the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He's the one that came to take away your shame. He came to take away your sin. He came to take away your pain. He's taken every curse that the enemy put on mankind because of mankind's disobedience. He took it away. Glory to God. And it's done. It's done. A few weeks ago, I preached a message in Winthrop, and it's finished. Everything that God's going to do through Jesus Christ is finished. It's not something that's going to happen. It's not something, boy, when we get to heaven, then it'll be all right. No, we have eternal life right now because it's finished. But our walking into the finished work of Christ is we have to accept that it's been done and begin to act like it's so. Glory to God, and it's true. But this morning, I want to talk to you, and this is a little bit strange maybe in the title, but I want you to have faith in the Holy Spirit. I want you to have faith in the Holy Spirit. I want you to trust that the Holy Spirit is with you. And when I'm talking about faith, I'm talking about confidence. Come on, I am confident that the Holy Spirit is with me. I'm confident that the Holy Spirit is in me. Now listen to this. I wrote this down this morning, and this isn't a definition out of anything but what I was thinking this morning. Faith equals confidence in order to act. See, the Bible says that faith without works is dead. And there's one translation that says faith without corresponding action is dead. In other words, it doesn't exist. Have you ever had a dead battery? Some of us are just dead batteries. Thank you. Some of us are just dead batteries because we don't really believe that the Holy Spirit is inside of us to do what He said He would do. We don't really believe that the Holy Spirit is inside of us to give us the power to overcome the things that are trying to hold us back. we don't believe that the Holy Spirit will pray through us, that the Holy Spirit will do the things that He said He would do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go to Luke chapter 11, and we'll start there. Luke chapter 11. Glory to God. I'm excited about this morning. I'm excited about what He's going to say this morning. You know, have you ever thought about it? And if somebody comes up to you and says, "Well, I don't know what to do," then you should. The next question you should ask them is, "Are you saved?" You got Christians going, "I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do." And now, listen, I know that there are circumstances that go, "This seems overwhelming." And I've watched so many of you walk through those impossible situations that you didn't want to get yourself into, but you're there, right? But here's the deal. You're not by yourself. You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And watch this. Jesus was talking. I'm just going to read one verse. We could read the whole thing in context. But it says, if a son asks for bread, this is Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. Oh, I'm going to go to verse 11. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Of course not. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Some people struggle being filled with the Holy Spirit. When I'm talking about that, I'm talking about with the evidence of speaking in tongues. When the reality is it's already been given to you, all you have to do is exercise faith in what's already there. Right? Did you know that when you got born again, the Spirit of God came to live on the inside of you? I'm not looking for the Holy Spirit to come. I have the Holy Spirit. Right? He's in us right now. He's in here today. He's part of what we're doing today because the Spirit of God is on the inside of us. Right? Right? There's verses that just blow your mind. You think, how is that possible? But He told His disciples, listen, you're going to go before kings and magistrates. These were high muckety-muck people. And He's talking to fishermen. He's talking to men who weren't learned, that really didn't have the great education, the status in society, any of that. He said, listen, you're going to have to go before them, but don't worry about it. Because in that self-same hour that you go to them, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak when you need to speak them. Right? And so we need to have faith that the Holy Spirit is with us and that He'll do exactly what Jesus said He would do in our lives. Come on, are you with me this morning? I'm going to digress from my notes just a little bit, which I do a lot, so it's not a surprise. But I got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit in the same instant. In other words, I got saved, gave my heart to Jesus, and the person that prayed me into the kingdom said, do you want all God has for you? And I said, well, duh. I came from a party and lifestyle that, you know, was, we did it all, right? And we did it to the max. And I said, well, if I don't want just a little, I want the whole thing. So I had no clue of what he was talking about. He says, well, I'm not really good at this. My wife is more gifted than I am, so she's going to pray over you. And she said, well, raise your hands up. Okay, I didn't know what that meant, but raise your hands up. And she just said, start saying hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. She said, your tongue is going to get a little bit thick and there's going to be syllables coming out of your mouth. It's going to sound a little bit like baby talk. But just keep saying, and all of a sudden, and the Holy Spirit, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit, received my prayer language in the very instant that I gave my heart to Jesus. Now, that's not everybody's experience, and I'm not saying that you have to have that particular experience, but know that once you were born again, the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of you. So fast forward a couple of months, and I'd only been saved a few months, been going to Bible studies. I was still at the stage where I had to go to the index to find the book in order to get to the passage where the person was preaching from. And I just had a New Testament Bible. I didn't even have the Old Testament at that point. But watch this. The fellow came up to me, and there was a series of Bible studies that we were going to. He said, "Well, next Wednesday you're teaching." I went, "I'm teaching, but here's my heart. I'm not recommending this. I don't think this is the best avenue, but here was my heart." I said, "God, I want to do anything that you want me to do." And then I read a script, that scripture that I just quoted about, that don't worry about what you're going to say in that self same hour, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak. Now see, I trusted. I had faith and I had confidence that He said it, and if He said it, then I can do it, so I'm going to just go. And here's what I did. See, I have that new prayer language. I went, and I'll never forget it. It was up near Buckley, and I went to this house, and I sat outside of the house, and for 15 minutes before it was time for me to go in, I just prayed in the Holy Ghost. What do you mean? I just prayed in tongues. And then I walked into the house, and I had, some of you will know what I'm talking about, most of you won't. I had one of those big date New Testament hardback Bibles. The one that you could hit somebody with and probably kill them. But anyway, it was big. But I got into the Bible study, and we sang a couple of songs, and I went like this. "Open up your Bible to..." I didn't have one note. I had nothing. But I'd read out of the Bible, and then the Holy Spirit would use those words, as simple and as ignorant as I was, and people were blessed. People were filled with the Holy Ghost. I saw people healed just because of obedience and faith that God is who He said He is, and He'd do through me what He said He would do, and it's the same today. Right? You have to have faith that the Holy Spirit is in you. I'll say that over here. You have to have faith that the Holy Spirit is in you. Come on. Hallelujah. Why do I know that? Because He said if I ask Him for something, He's not going to give me anything but the Holy Spirit when I'm asking for Him. Hallelujah. Go to John chapter 15. Well, actually, let's start in John 7. Let's see what that says. John 7. Verse 37 says this, "On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying..." Now, I'm going to say that the way He did it. "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Come on. Come on, He's yelling at us today. "Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." If we believe in Jesus and we're thirsty for Him, we don't just get filled up to be a stagnant pond. We get filled up to become a river. What that indicates is it comes in and it goes out, and it comes in and it goes out, and it comes in and it goes out. The Holy Spirit is in us, just not so that we can say, "Yep, me, I got the Holy Ghost. Glory to God." Well, good, and that's awesome, but big deal. Our purpose as a body of Christ and the body of Christ is to show the world Jesus. But if we're just as miserable as they are, if we don't have any answers just like they don't have any answers, then why are they even coming? Why would they come? But when we can stand up and let the Holy Spirit use us and believe that when we need Him to speak to us for somebody else, that God can use us to touch them. Right? You need to have confidence that the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit will use you, and the Holy Spirit can do what God wants to do through you. Glory to God. Out of your belly, I like it says in King James, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. It doesn't say out of your mind. It's not out of your mind. Well, listen, I need to take three seminary courses, and I had a PhD and all of this in order to really help people. I'm not against education at all, but the reality is that the real help that people need doesn't come from your head. It comes from your heart. Come on. That needs to be inspired by the Spirit of God. And man, I can tell the difference. Come on, I can tell the difference. Go to chapter 15, John chapter 15. And do we believe the word or not? Is the word really true? Was Jesus just kidding when he said it? What was Jesus saying? Listen, it's for some, but not for others. Come on. For God so loved the world that all who believe, whosoever, I'm a whosoever. And I can do whatsoever. Glory to God. John chapter 15, and look at verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send from you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from me, from the Father, he will testify of me. And you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. The helper, that word is actually parakletos in the Greek. And what that means is he's in the Amplified. Can you get the classic Amplified of this up there? Because I'm going to quote it, but I'll get them wrong. And that's okay. But he's our advocate. He's our intercessor. He's everything. Let's see, which verse? I want verse 26. But when the Helper, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Counselor, the Strengthener, the Standby comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that Spirit of Truth who comes from the Father, He will testify and bear witness about me. You have not only, you know, the Holy Spirit, but what is He? He's the Comforter. He's the Advocate. He's the Intercessor. He's the Counselor. He's the Strengthener. And He's the Standby. So what does that mean for you? What does that mean for me? Tomorrow, when you go, wherever you're going to go, whatever you're doing tomorrow, you have a counselor. You have an advocate. You have an intercessor. You have a strengthener. Come on. You have someone that's standing right by you. Come on. You have the fruit of the Spirit. You have the gifts of the Spirit. You have all of those things active. Because Jesus said He had to go away. In fact, He told His disciples, and we might read that in a minute, but He told His disciples, it's expedient that I go away. And I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. When I read that one time, I went, are you kidding? It's very important. It's crucial for you that I go away. I don't know, but if it was me and I'd been walking with Jesus for 3 years and see the blind eyes open and see the deaf hearing and the dead being raised from the dead and people getting fed and miracles happening left and right all the time, healing all that came to Him, I don't think I'd want Him to leave. No. Our life is a lot better with you here. But He said, no, it's expedient. It's important. It's crucial. It's critical that I go away. And of course, part of that was because He had to go to the cross. But when He went to the cross, He substituted His life for our life. He took our sins so that we could have His righteousness. He took out our heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh, so thereby the Holy Spirit could come dwell on the inside of us. Because He said, listen, when I go away, I'm going to send another comforter. And what He's saying is, I'm going to send, that word another is one of the same kind, or one that acts just like me. But here was the big difference. He's no longer going to be with you. He's going to be in you. Ooh, glory to God. If Peter or John or Mark or any of them wanted to get by the Comforter, they had to find out where Jesus was and they had to go to Him. And if they had a question for Jesus, they had to run to the front of the line where He was. Why? Hey, Jesus, I got a question for you. But we don't have to go anywhere because the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us. Oh, glory to God. Do you believe that? Well, why aren't you acting like it? I'm speaking to me too. See, I got these coming back at me. Why aren't we acting like it? Why are we discouraged? Why are we troubled? Why are we downcast? Right? David said this, man, why are you cast down, O my soul? And another place he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And forget not all of His benefits. In other words, what has He said? What has He promised? Who is He? That was under the old covenant. We have a better covenant now. Jesus has produced so that the Holy Spirit would be on the inside of us. Oh, glory to God. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, glory to God. Go to chapter 16, just a one more chapter over. Listen to this. Verse 13. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, has the Spirit of truth come? Who has the Spirit of truth? Come on, do you? Do you? Really? Do you believe that? Are you acting on that? Do you live your life like that's true? Because listen to what he says. However, when the Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not a force. It's a person of the Godhead. When He comes, He will guide you into all truth. I don't know what to do. Well, you're not listening. Do you know that oftentimes the Holy Spirit leads us in with a still, small voice and we miss it? There's something inside of us. If we'd listen to it more clearly, there'd be a check in our spirit. I'm going to say it a little more crass, I guess. But you got a gut check. Right? There's something down here just doesn't seem right, doesn't fit right. And yet we ignore it. But the Holy Spirit's trying to speak to you because He's trying to guide you into all truth. He's trying to keep you out of trouble. But you just run over that. Right? Absolutely. Now watch this, watch this. This is so cool. I take this personally, actually. He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you of things to come. He'll show you things. The Holy Spirit's going to show us things. Why? So that we can glorify God and do what He wants us to do. There was this church years and years ago, they had a revival happening. Now, we don't see them. I mean, if we have a 2 or 3 day person coming in, that's a lot. That's a strain on the church. But back in the day, they used to have revivals. And when they have them, there'd be a guest minister in the church for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, 6 weeks. I mean, 2 months. They'd have a revival, right? A revival. Well, this hotshot revivalist was coming into town, and it was the first Sunday night, and he was up there, and he was just giving it all out. The pastor was liking everything, but there was something in his gut that he ignored. He said, "There's just a check here. What's wrong here? What's wrong?" But he ignored it, and it went on and went on and went on. By the beginning of the second week, that evangelist had split his church because he didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, there was a lady who had just gotten saved and hadn't been saved very long, and she was at church all the time. She was there that night, the first night. But then she wasn't there for the rest of the night, and then the pastor went up to her later and said, well, why weren't you at the services? She said, "Well, something just didn't sit right with me about that guy, so I didn't want to hear him anymore." See, we need to listen because the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. I said the Holy Spirit is listening and speaking to us, and He'll guide us into all truth. But listen to this. The whole purpose of Him guiding you into truth is so that you know who Jesus is. You'll know what Jesus did. You'll know how to apply it to your life. Because I like this. I like this. Again, verse 14 says, "He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." He will glorify me. The Holy Spirit wants to glorify, to magnify Jesus to you so that he can magnify him through you. Come on. We've got to trust that the Holy Spirit's in us. And He's given us tools and everything. But go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. See, there was something that happened between the resurrection and the day of Pentecost. And the disciples were all together, but Jesus told them, He said, "Now wait a minute, boys. Don't go anywhere until you receive this one thing." And we're gonna look at this. Now it was different then than it is now, but we'll watch this in this what I mean. Verse 8. "But you shall receive power." Everybody say power.
Power.
Come on. Power. "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now watch this. I know that witness means that you'll be able to speak to other people and tell them about Jesus. But did you know that one of the greatest witnesses that you can have is you can show them a before and after. What do I mean by that? This was before Jesus. This is after Jesus. This was before I knew the truth, and this is after I knew the truth. So people don't necessarily need to hear what the story is, but they can see the story through you. Come on, you've all seen the diet commercials. The guy or the gal holding up the shorts that were, you know, this big, and now they can't fit in anymore. And you see, if you get on this diet, here's the before and the after. Here's what I'm saying. When you find out that the Holy Spirit is working in you and the Holy Spirit has done some things for you, and you just show up and they say, "What happened to you?" And you can say, "Jesus." You can say, "Jesus. Jesus happened to me." How could you? You went through the same thing that I went through. How could you get through that? How could you get through that grief? And I know you're grieved and I know all that, but how come you're on top when I'm still down in the dumps? Because the Holy Spirit showed me that Jesus took my griefs and carried my sorrows And this is what the Holy Spirit told me to do. You see, you're not just telling somebody something, but you're displaying something to someone. Glory to God. God wants to use us. I said God wants to use us. God will use us if we let Him. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Y'all getting anything this morning? Come on. Are you going to do anything with it? That's the question. Right? Hallelujah. Do you know, though, really, the truth is, though, you know, you received the Holy Spirit when you were young, and you were a good witness for Jesus when you were young, but now that you're older and you're more sophisticated and all of that, God's not going to use you anymore. He's just going to, come on. I feel this way as long as I'm breathing. The Holy Spirit can use me. It may be different than it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, but the Holy Spirit can still use me. Hallelujah. He still gifted me to do something. And that something is to be a witness for Him. That something is to lead other people to Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's start in verse 27. Think about this. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. Thank you, Lord. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, the things which despise, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. What am I saying? The Holy Spirit on the inside of you is the very proof that you are redeemed. That you are righteous. That you have been sanctified for purpose. And His wisdom is available to you. Come on. Come on. I believe that we should be people's answers to prayer. I said, I think we should be people's answers to prayer. But not because we're there. But because we're the vessel that the Holy Spirit is using. We got to have faith that the Holy Spirit is in us. Go to chapter 12. I know it's hot. Just hang on a few more minutes. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll skip down to verse 7. It says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one to profit with all. What does manifestation mean? It means show up. When He shows up, it manifests. It's here. You know, here's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Are you in each one? Come on, are you in each one? I'm in each one. Gordon, I'm in each one. So if I'm in each one, then the manifestation of the Spirit has been given to me. For you. For you. In other words, the Holy Spirit wants to show up in you for somebody else. Woo! Glory to God. It's so cool when He does. It's so awesome when He does. When you're sitting at a table at a restaurant and God puts in your heart, tell her, the server, such and such. And you're going, okay, here you go. And you do it, and she backs up and she says, oh no, you don't know what you just said. You have no idea what you just said. I wasn't in church. I wasn't a pastor. I was just a man in a restaurant in a booth, and the Holy Spirit said, I want to use you. I want to manifest myself to you, through you, to her. Come on. Anybody available for that? Come on, he does it in so many different ways. Watch this. Verse 8. To one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But the one and self-same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Come on. So what am I saying? He's the same Holy Spirit. He wants to do the same thing through us. Yeah, but that doesn't happen to me. That's because you don't believe it. Because if you believed it, you'd start expecting it. You start listening for it, looking for it. See, and I know some of the stories here. There are people in this room that God has used in supernatural ways and shown them things. And it's like in a dream or in a vision or something. And it's like the Holy Spirit used you in the past to do certain things. Come on. Well, why did He stop? Why did He stop? The reason it stopped wasn't Him. It's that we quit looking for it. We quit believing. We quit putting ourselves in the position to do it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's do it again. Let's believe again. Let's act again. Let's believe that the Holy Spirit is going to use me today. I'm available. Here I am, Holy Spirit. Wake up in the morning and go, woo, glory to God. And I'm not talking about a feeling. I'm not talking about goosebumps. I'm just talking about God will put a thought in your head. God will put somebody on your heart. Amen? Did you know the Holy Spirit will teach you and show you how to pray? I believe that's in our prayer language, in tongues, but I also believe that's in our natural mind. The Holy Spirit will show us what the real problem is and use us to pray for other people. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says that He helps our infirmities. For we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit will give us words, will give us groanings that cannot be uttered. And we'll pray out the perfect will of God over the situation. If you have your prayer language, then you know how to pray. A perfect prayer. But you're not doing it. Right? So let's believe God. And if you really believe that the Holy Spirit is in you, that'll cause you to do it. We're going to believe that the Holy Spirit is going to use us. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where Paul's really trying to straighten out the mess of the Corinthian church because they came together and they were just all over the place. But he did say this. He said, when you all come together, you have this and you have that and you have this and you have that. He expected all of them to have the manifestation of the Holy Spirit being used through them to help somebody else. Glory to God. Are you available this morning? Come on, are we available? Glory to God. I love it when words of knowledge come. I love it, but we have to have an expectation for it. We have to put ourselves in a position where we're getting ready for it to happen. Look at chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I love, just as a side note, I love the fact that you have the gifts of the Spirit talked about in chapter 12, then talks about the body working together in chapter 12, but then in chapter 13, which it seems like it's out of place, but it's perfectly where it needs to be, he says all of this stuff has to be done in love. Right? All of it has to be done in love. I'm not coming into town and saying, bless God, I'm used of God in this word of knowledge. Even though I could say that, it's like I'm not doing that to put myself over you. I'm doing that for God to be magnified in me so that I can be of service to you and build your faith. There's a vast difference. I've often thought this, and the perfect service for me would be where the glory of God is so strong and so thick in the room that people go away saved, healed, delivered, and they don't even remember my name. But they go away glorifying God. I met God today. I met, come on. Hallelujah. I could tell you stories. I could tell you stories how God has used different individuals, and including me, in supernatural ways because the Holy Spirit was allowed to be manifest. I believe the Holy Spirit is still here. I believe when I walk into a room and in a ministry position, what all I mean by that is in a service attitude, I'm going there representing God. And listen, that should be everything that we do. When we go to work tomorrow, when we go to the store today, when we go to the restaurant, we should be go as ministers of God, available for the Holy Spirit to use us. I believe that the Holy Spirit will use all of us. Amen? Watch this real quick. Verse 1 says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Desire spiritual gifts. Desire spiritual gifts. Desire. What does that mean? Covet them. Look for them. Want them. Desire them. Lord, I'm looking for it. I'm desiring it. You know, if you lost your keys and you really needed to go somewhere at home, none of you have probably done this, but I've done this before. Where are my keys? I really desire to find my keys because I need to go. I mean, things will be flying out of the way, me looking everywhere 3 or 4 times until I find those keys. So if I'm really desiring spiritual gifts, the Lord, I'm here. You know, I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to pursue this until, Father, I start seeing them show up in my life so that I can be used by you to bless others. Verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands him, however, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Glory to God. You know, when you pray in your prayer language, sometimes it doesn't make any sense to you. You don't feel anything, nothing. It doesn't, but something's happening. I said something's happening. Stick with it. Keep going. Look at this. Verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. What is prophecy? Prophecy is not saying, I'm the prophet, and therefore I'm going to come in and prophesy. And many people who've prophesied then began to think that they were prophets. And that's not necessarily true. The simple gift of prophecy is nothing more than this, is inspired speech. Let me break it down. God gave me some words to say. It can be as simple as God says, go tell them that I love them. Right? And you go to some person and say, listen, I just got to tell you, Jesus loves you. That's prophecy. Because it brought comfort, it brought edification, it brought exhortation. You hear what I'm saying? That's available to all of us. All of us. But we have to believe that the Holy Spirit will do that. The next verse. But he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He who prophesies edifies the church. Holy Spirit, I believe that when I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm praying according to your perfect will. But I'm also praying that I'm building myself up. I'm charging myself up. If you want to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more, pray in tongues more. And then get quiet afterwards. I don't have time to go into that. But you need to begin to use your prayer language on a consistent basis. And you all have time. Let me say that again. You all have time. If I could show you in the Spirit what's happening, you'd do it a lot more. A couple of stories, and then I'm really closing. There was a pastor, and it wasn't too long ago, but he was in a room, and in this room, he was coming out of a hospital room, and he was with this dad who just lost his wife. She just died. And the man said, "Pastor, I don't know if I can do it." He said, "Well, you know, I understand. I've been through this a lot. I'll help you through the process." He says, "You don't understand what I'm saying. I've got 5 boys at home. I don't know how I'm going to do it." So as a pastor, of course, he said, "Well, here's step A, B, C." No. He said, "Listen, you can do it." He said, "But I want you to do this." He said, "I know you. I know you have a 20-minute commute to work in the morning. And then you have a 20-minute commute back from work in the afternoon. I want you to promise me every day on the way to work and every way on the way back that you'll pray in the Holy Ghost the whole time. Just pray in tongues the whole time." I mean, you think, "Pastor, is that all you got? Is that all you got for me?" But he did it. And in a year's time, pastor saw him again and said, "How's it going?" He says, I just don't know how to tell you how good God is. He, as I was praying in the Holy Ghost and began to do it, at first it was nothing, but as more I did it, the more I did it, then I'd get a thought here, I'd get a thought there, I'd get a thought there. And now we're doing really well. My family is thriving. I'm able to do it. Why? Because he believed that the Holy Spirit was in him, that the Holy Spirit would pray through him, that the Holy Spirit would guide him, the Holy Spirit would lead him, and the Holy Spirit would tell him what to do. So I want you to have faith in the blood. I want you to have faith in the name of Jesus, that when you use it, that God's going to work with you and through you. But I also want you to believe that the Holy Spirit is with you, that He'll guide you, that He'll lead you, and that He'll use you. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You today for the service. We thank You for Your Word. I trust You, Lord, that the Holy Spirit moving in these last days is not going to come from this big thing on the outside, but it's going to be believers standing up in their place and beginning to operate out of who You've made them to be and allowing Your Spirit to flow through them that's going to cause this last day move of Your Spirit. And Lord, I thank You for it. We're available in this church, Lord. We're available to You. I'm available to You, and everybody that's listening to me, whether online or in here, is available. We're going to get out of the way and let You use us. And Holy Spirit, we trust You. We believe in You. We want to thank You for listening to us. And Father, we thank You that You're telling the Holy Spirit what to tell us. And we will glorify Jesus as a fruit of what You do. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Listen, the Holy Spirit can come to live inside of you, but the only way is that if you're born again. What do I mean by that? I mean that you've given your heart to Jesus. It's not just about saying a few words, and the words without a heart condition mean nothing. But when you really come to the realization that I need a Savior, and you come to that place and you lay yourself down, you say, "Father, in Jesus' name, I need You. I want to be with You. I want You to be the Lord of my life. And so I confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one who took my place. Father, You put my sins upon Him. But Father, when He was raised from the dead, I was raised with Him. And now, Lord, I ask You to be the Lord of my life. I give You my life for the rest of my life." If you'll say that with your mouth and believe it in your heart, the Bible says that you'll be saved. And what does that mean? You'll be right with God. Glory to God. And the next thing is you just have to believe that the Holy Spirit is available to you. He'll use you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah.